Welcome to the North Point Community Church Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoy this inspiring word from our pastor.
We're in a current series right now, and this is the last of that the series of messages entitled My Declaration. And we've been going line by line through the declaration that you just said. If this is your first time at North Point, we say that declaration every single week. And so we've been going line by line through that declaration because it's important that we understand what we are saying, that we know why we are saying what we are saying. And this is what we've been talking about the last few weeks. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and that those who love it will eat its fruit." You will eat the fruit off the trees that you plant by your words. Whatever you are planting with your words is the fruit that you are going to eat in your life. And so as we talk about your declaration, you know, it's not a word that we use all the time. We don't always say, well, that's your declaration. No, but this is what the word declaration means. It just means that it is something that is announced or something that is proclaimed. So many of us have been making declarations over our life and we didn't even realize it. Many of us have been proclaiming things over our family, proclaiming things over our future, and we didn't even understand that that's what we were doing. We have declared things like this: I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not connected enough. I'm not qualified. I'm not able. I'm not prepared. And so we say things like, I can't, because we believe that I'm not. And when I believe that I'm not enough, that means that I can't. But you see, our declaration that we say, it's not about what we're not, it's about what we are. It's about I am, not what I'm not. We say, I am a child of God. I am loved. I am adored. I am accepted. I am forgiven. I am free. I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I am full of the Spirit of God. And because I am, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. James chapter 3, starting in verse 3. I'm going to read it out of the Message translation. This is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. You might want to follow along on the screen. It might be a little different than it is in your Bible. It says this: a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject of the direction of my declaration. The direction of my declaration. Let's pray one more time before we get into the word. Father, we ask in these next few moments that you would do what only you can do. Mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and with expectation. Everybody shout it. Amen. Has anyone in this room ever said the wrong thing? Come on, show me your hands. Have you ever said the wrong thing? We got three liars right back there on the back row. Have you ever said the wrong thing? What I'm really more interested in, has anybody said the wrong thing already this morning? Anybody already said the wrong thing? This is how you know. The look of your spouse already told you that you said the wrong thing. My follow-up question to that is, when you said the wrong thing, how did that work out for you? Probably not very well. So I'm sure that you would agree with me today that what you say is important. I would argue that it's probably even more important than we all realize or understand. The tongue is powerful, and our words are so important. Proverbs 13:3 says this, "Be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself." Be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself. Your words are either protecting you or your words are destroying you. You know, sometimes we do the enemy's job for him. Jesus said that the thief, the enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But sometimes we destroy ourselves by the words that we say long before the enemy ever shows up on the scene. And notice that it says a careless talker. Just a careless talker. It doesn't say evil, wicked, or sacrilegious words will destroy you. No, it just says that careless words will destroy you. Careless simply means that I'm not paying enough attention. Careless simply means that my words that I'm unconcerned, or that my words are unconsidered. I have not considered what I am saying. I have not paid enough attention to the words that are coming out of my mouth. So I'm speaking careless words, but the careless words that I'm speaking are bringing about destruction in my life according to the word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this, "Let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths. Let no bad talk, let no damaging talk, let no harmful talk, let no careless talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fit for the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Remember the working definition that we use for grace here at North Point Community Church. Grace is the unmeasurable love, the unmerited favor. It's the unlimited power of God that enables us to live life God's way. So is it giving? Are your words giving unmeasurable love? Are they giving unmerited favor? Are they giving unlimited power to those who hear? You know, we say a lot here at North Point Community Church that you lead the most important person you will ever lead every single day. That is yourself. I would add to that that every single day, the most important person that you talk to is yourself. It's the most important person that you talk to. So what if we took Ephesians 4:29 and we didn't look at it in light of somebody else that I'm talking to? What about if we looked at it in light of what I say to myself? Is what I'm saying to myself, is it good for building up? Is what you're saying to yourself, is it good for building up your faith? Is it good for building up your confidence? Is it good for building up your calling? Is it fit for the occasion? Is it fit for the occasion of the process of you becoming who God created you to be? That's the occasion that we are all in. We are all in the occasion of spiritual growth and maturity. Is what you are saying helping you grow and helping you become everything that you want to be in God? Is what you say to yourself, is it full of grace? Is it full of love? Is it full of favor? Is it full of power that is enabling you to become who God wants you to be? What are you saying to yourself? I love what Mother Teresa said. She said, "Words which do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness." Mother Teresa is saying here that there are no neutral words. There are no neutral words. Your words are either shining the light of Christ or your words are either increasing the darkness. There is no middle ground. The Bible says that there is life and death in the tongue. It doesn't say anything about there being anything in the middle. Your words are life or they are death. It is one or the other. Careless words. Careless words are increasing the darkness. Careless words are increasing the discouragement and the depression. Careless words are increasing the negativity and the pessimism. However, if you begin to use careful words, if you begin to consider what you say, if you begin to pay attention to the words that are coming out of your mouth, what you'll begin to find is that those words will begin to shine the light. Those words will begin to build up. Those words will begin to improve. Those words will begin to strengthen. Those words will begin to give grace in every situation. There's a couple of examples that I want to look at today in the Bible that I believe point us to the power of your words, the power of your words. And the first instance is found in Numbers 13. And the people of God have been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And God speaks to Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh, says, time to let the people go. If you know the story, there's 10 plagues. It's an amazing story in the book of Exodus. And so now Moses, through the power of God, is leading all of the people out. The Red Sea happens. Maybe you just saw the Prince of Egypt, the cartoon. Okay, that's a reality. It really happened. Okay, and the waters parted, and the people of God walked through, and they were on their way to a place called the Promised Land. It was the land of Canaan. God had told them, I have a land for you. That land flows with milk and honey. It is my promised place. And they get halfway there. They are out of Egypt, but they're not yet in the promised land. They're in a place that we call the wilderness. And Moses got together 12 spies to go spy out the promised land, to go spy out this land of Canaan. And when the 12 spies come back, this is what it says in verse 27. Book of Numbers, chapter 13. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces, but the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Verse 30, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. They said, we cannot. So they did not. We cannot do it, so God did not allow them the opportunity to take the land that he had specifically designed and created for them. You see, this is the danger that we all fall into. Whenever you believe that I am not, you begin to say I cannot, and then you find yourself that you will not. See, that's why we have to say, no, I am. And I can, so that I will find the will and the purpose of God in my life. The Bible says this about their report, that the report spread. The report spread, and that's what will always happen to your words. Your words will always spread. There's two places that your words spread. One of the places is exactly the same in the story. The word spread to others. Your word doesn't end with the person that you're talking to. I hope you realize that. Your word is going to spread from the person that you're talking to somebody else. But not only is your word going to spread to others, your word is going to spread in others. Because when he gave the bad report, it wasn't just the report that he gave, because when they turned and walked away, what were they thinking about? They were thinking about the fortified cities. They were thinking about the giants. They were thinking about the impossibility. They were thinking about the challenge. They were thinking about there's no way we can do it. And the word spread through their heart. So you have to understand, the power of your words does not end with that one sentence. It does not end with that one conversation, because when the person walks away, the word that you spoke is going to spread through their heart and in their life. And it says here that we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. I mean, did they do an internet survey? I'm trying to figure out how did they know? They were so terrified of these giants, you know they didn't go down there and say, hey, can I ask you 10 questions? No, they assumed that that's the way they felt. And so they came back and they said, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Can I tell you what that is? Those are careless words. Those are careless words. That was their opinion. That was their idea. That was not the truth. Those were careless words. Were those words good for building up? Were those good? Were those words fit for the occasion? Were those words full of grace, full of power, full of favor, full of unmeasurable love? No, that's not what those words were. I told you there were 12 spies that went to look at the land. And as you read the story, you realize that there were 2 spies that said, we can do it. Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can do it. There were 10 of the 12 that spread this bad report. And we know from the Bible that only Caleb and Joshua were allowed to move into the promised land. Those 10 spies and everyone that was over the age of 20, whenever they came out of Egypt, the Bible tells us that they all died in the wilderness. Caleb and Joshua were the only ones that were allowed to move into the promised land. That was after they spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years knowing that they were meant for something else. 40 years living in the wilderness, and finally God comes down and he speaks to Joshua and he says, Joshua, I'm getting ready. You are now the leader of these people. I'm getting ready to move you into the promised land, and you're going to cross this Jordan River, and it's a fantastic story. And he says, and you're going to conquer this land, and you're going to drive the people out of their cities. And so sure enough, exactly what he says happens. The Jordan River parts the same way that it did at the Red Sea for Moses. Now Joshua is leading God's people across the Jordan River. They all cross on dry ground, and they get over. Now they are in the promised land. Now their feet are on Canaan, and the first city they come to conquer is a city called Jericho. Now, if you know anything about Jericho, it was a walled city. The Bible tells us that the wall was probably close to 30 feet high and almost 8 to 10 feet wide. This is a massive wall around the city. So obviously they have a problem. God instructs Joshua. He says, this is what you're going to do. I have given you the city. I have handed them into your hands. He says, you're going to walk around the city one time for 6 days in a row. 6 days in a row. One time every day you're going to walk around. Then on the seventh day, you're going to walk around the city 7 times. And then you're going to blow the trumpet and you're going to give a great shout. And then you're going to go up into the city and you're going to see my goodness and power before you. That was the instructions that God gave. I want to bring your attention today to the instructions that Joshua gave. Joshua added a little something to the story. In Joshua 6, verse 10, when he's giving the instructions to the people, this is what he says. He says, do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you, shout, then shout. Why did God didn't mention that in the story. God just said, no, this is what you're going to do. You're going to march around in 6 days, and then 7 days, you march 7 times, and then you're going to shout. And Joshua comes back to the people, and he tells them the plan, but he adds a little something to it, and he says, here's what you're going to do. You're not going to talk to anybody for 6 days. You're not going to talk to anybody. We're going to walk around. You are not going to open your mouth. Why did Joshua say this? Because Joshua was standing there when the spies came back out of the promised land, and he saw what careless words can do. He said, I'm not going to give you the opportunity to speak a careless word. I'm not going to give you the chance to say you think this is a bad idea, that you think this plan is not going to work. I'm not going to give you an opportunity. There will not be one word spoken until I tell you to shout. Sometimes I believe we say the wrong things because we're saying too many things. We say the wrong things because we're saying too many things. And maybe part of the process of learning how to say the right things in our life is going to demand a season of saying less things in our lives. Proverbs 18, verse 2 says this, "Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions." Fools have no interest in understanding. They have no interest in understanding you, have no interest in understanding the situation, and they also have no understanding in taking full responsibility for the power and the impact of their words. They're going to say what they want to say, and then you are going to have to deal with it, and they don't want to take responsibility of the power and the impact of what they just spoke out of their mouths. See, airing your own opinion in most cases is careless. In most cases, airing your own opinion is careless. Why? Because most of the time when you are airing your own opinion, you are not concerned. You are not interested in understanding the situation. You are only interested in your voice being heard. And most of the time when you speak those things, they are careless words. The 10 spies came back and they spoke careless words because they did not understand the promise of God. They had no interest in understanding that God was going to come down and empower them to face their fears and to face the giants and to overcome the cities. They had no interest in understanding, no interest in developing, no interest in growing, no interest in transforming, no interest in believing, no interest in walking in faith. So they erred their own opinion, and they said, "We can't do it no matter what God says." Bible says this in Proverbs 10, verse 19, "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut." This is the Bible. Be sensible. Have some sense and keep your mouth shut. Hear me clearly this morning. Just because a thought comes into your mind does not mean that words have to come out of your mouth. The Bible says in Corinthians, take every thought captive. Why do you take every thought captive? Because you can grab it in here before it becomes death out there. For the rest of your life, you're going to have crazy thoughts. For the rest of your life, crazy things are going to enter your mind. Careless things are going to enter your mind. Damaging things are going to enter your mind. Bad things are going to enter your mind. But you don't have to let them out of your mouth where they come from your mind in here, but they turn into death out there. Grab them while they're on the inside. Prevent the destruction. Prevent the damage. Prevent the death. Remember, the Bible says it's a careless talker that destroys himself. So what does that mean? That means I have to be intentional about what I say. It means that I have to pay close attention to what I declare over my life, what I declare over my family, what I declare over my future. And that's why this last part of our declaration that we're going through today, it's half prayer and half declaration. And this is the last part, and it says this, "Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my mind to understand, and my heart to receive everything that God has for me today." Starts with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, because we have to bring the Holy Spirit into our existence. Whenever Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 14, verse 26, he was talking to them about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But the Helper," and this is the Amplified Version, it defines the Helper a little bit for us, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Standby. That is who the Holy Spirit is, whom the Father will send in my name. He will send him in my place to represent me and to act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. The Holy Spirit is a teacher, and there are two important roles and aspects of a teacher. One is to reveal, and the other is to review. One is to reveal and the other is to review. When we talk about the Holy Spirit being a revealer, that means that he will allow you to see things that you have never seen before. Have you ever been sitting in church right here and all of a sudden you see something that you've never seen before about God and it's like, whoo, where did that come from? It's the Holy Spirit that is revealing it to you. But not only is the Holy Spirit a revealer, the Holy Spirit is also a great reviewer. That means that he will allow you to see things that you've just lost sight of. You used to know it, but over the course of time, you've just lost sight of it. So the Holy Spirit comes as our teacher, and he says, oh, let's review chapter 1. Let's review chapter 2. Let's review last decade. Let's review the lesson that you learned last time you were in this situation. Let's go back and review what you already know. So what we're doing here at the end of our declaration is that we are acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent to live and dwell inside of us, and we are simply inviting the Holy Spirit to do his job. Teach us, reveal things to us, review things with us, be our helper, be our strengthener, be our counselor, be our advocate today. And that's why I said it's half prayer and it's half declaration, because in one aspect we are praying and we are inviting the Holy Spirit to do it. On the other aspect, this is what I'm declaring. I'm saying, eyes today you will see, and ears today you will hear. And mind today, you are going to understand. And heart today, you are going to receive what God has for you. In Matthew 13, Jesus is quoting the words of the prophet Isaiah. And he says, these words are being fulfilled right now in this time with these people. And Jesus says it in verse 15. He says, for the minds of these people have become stubborn. They do not hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might really understand what they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might really understand in their minds and come back to me and be healed. But you are blessed, he tells them, because you see with your eyes and you hear with your ears. You see, open eyes and open ears results in a blessed life. That's what Jesus said. You are blessed because you see with your eyes, and you are blessed because you are hearing with your ears. And so we say, Holy Spirit, we are inviting, giving permission for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, and then we pray in our declaration, and we say, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. You know, the Holy Spirit will show you things about God, show you things about yourself, things about your spouse and your children, things about the world that you have never, ever seen before. The Holy Spirit will allow you to see your identity and to see your purpose clearly. There's a story in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, and it's a man by the name of Saul. Saul was a persecutor of the church, and Saul has this encounter with God. He is completely transformed. God changes his name, and he becomes Paul. If you've ever heard anybody say the Apostle Paul, this is that story. This is Saul to Paul. This is the transformation, the conversion of Saul to Paul. It's in Acts chapter 9, and Saul is actually on his way to persecute the church. He's on his way with permission to take people captive, to arrest people, to imprison people. That's where he's going. He's on his way to Damascus, and on his way to Damascus, he encounters Jesus Christ. It's an amazing story, and in the midst of encountering Jesus and Jesus speaking to him, he goes blind. And when he goes blind, he can't see, and so people have to lead him into the city there in Damascus. And they lead him into the city, and he's blind for 3 days. And then God speaks to this disciple that's in Damascus by the name of Ananias. And he says, Ananias, hey, I got a task for you. Don't you know Ananias was excited? Ooh, this is what I've been praying for. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Whatever you want, I'm going to do for you today, God. And he says, there's a man by the name of Saul. He's from Tarsus, and he's a house on Straight Street. I want you to go pray. Whoa, whoa, time out, God. I've heard about this guy. This is the guy who's been persecuting the church. He's even killed people like me. God says, yeah, but I've got a plan for him. And I want you to go and I want you to pray for him. And he's blind right now. He's going to receive his sight. And so Ananias walks into the house and he says, Brother Saul, Jesus Christ, who appeared to you on the road, he has sent me to pray for you that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit and that you might be baptized. And when he prayed for him, the Bible says that scales fell off of Saul's eyes. A transformation began to happen and he began to see. And this is what the Bible declares. Immediately he began to preach. Immediately he began to preach. Why? Because he saw who God created him to be. He saw his real identity in Christ. He saw that he had a purpose in God that was so magnificent, so powerful, so necessary. Immediately, he began to go and preach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And can I tell you that God wants to open your eyes? Because there's people that he wants you to see. There's problems that he wants you to solve. There are places that he wants you to go. But we have to say, Holy Spirit, open up my eyes. Cause the scales to fall off of my eyes. The scales of past experiences. The scales of things that I shouldn't be, lenses that I shouldn't be looking through. Perspectives that I shouldn't have. Holy Spirit, come. Reveal to me my true identity. Reveal to me my purpose and my calling. Let me see you for who you really are so that I can see myself for who I really am today. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to see. And we say this, open my ears to hear. Open my ears to hear. God wants to speak to you. We serve a speaking God, and God wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak to you in a few different ways. One, God wants to speak to you right now. Through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, God wants to speak to you right here in the sanctuary. God wants to speak to you as you begin to read your Bible in the morning or in the nighttime. God wants to speak to you from his word. God wants to speak to you in your prayer time through his voice speaking to you. You say, what does that sound like? Does it sound like heaven? No, it's whenever God speaks to you, it's loud thoughts in your mind that you know certainly did not come from yourself. God wants to speak to you. This was my prayer long before we put it into a declaration. I've been praying this prayer whenever I open the Bible for years and years and years. This has been my prayer. Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see. Open my ears to hear. Open my mind to understand. Open my heart to receive everything that God has for me today. That has been my prayer every time that I have opened the Word of God, because I didn't want to just read the book. I wanted the book to read me. I didn't want to just spend time reading. I wanted God to spend time depositing things on the inside of me that would change me and transform me. You know, another side of this, whenever we say, open my ears to hear, another side of this is that we're saying, God, open my ears to hear what's not right in my speech. I don't want to just hear God speaking to me. I want to hear what I'm speaking over myself. Open my ears to hear the words that I am actually saying. Because sometimes you can say things for so long and you can hear things come out of your mouth for so long that it just becomes normal. And sometimes what becomes natural to us gets in the way of the supernatural that God wants to do in us and through us. It's natural for me to have that response, but it's getting in the way of the supernatural thing that God wants to do in that moment. It's natural to me because it's been my habit for the last decade, but it's getting in the way of the supernatural way that God wants to move through you and move in you in that moment. And if you don't hear careless words, you'll never begin to speak careful words. That's why you have to pray, God, open my ears to hear, because there are some of us today and we are saying careless things every single day and we don't even know they're careless. Why? Because our ears are not open to hear what we are saying. So we say, Holy Spirit, open my ears so that I might hear the destruction that I'm speaking out of my mouth, that I might hear the death that I'm speaking out of my mouth. Let me hear the careless words so that I might make a change and begin to speak careful words, paying close attention, being intentional about everything that comes out of my mouth. We go on and we say in our declaration, not just open my eyes to see and not just open my ears to hear, but we say open my mind to understand and my heart to receive. When my eyes are seeing and my ears are hearing, it puts me in position for understanding and receiving. I have to see it right, and I have to hear it right so that I can understand it and receive it into my heart. This is what Philippians chapter 1 says in verse 9. Paul is writing here, and he says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. I pray that you will keep on growing, he says, grow in knowledge and grow in understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. I want you to understand. I want your mind to understand. I want you to grow in your understanding. How do you grow in your understanding? That's because you're growing in your seeing and you're growing in your hearing. And as I begin to see properly and I begin to hear correctly, then I can begin to grow in my understanding of God and everything that He has for me in my life. I want to grow in my understanding. Why? So that I can understand what really matters. I don't want to spend my life on things that don't matter. I want to understand what really matters. God, what really matters to you today? Holy Spirit, what really matters? Let me understand today the heart of God. Let me understand today the mind of God. Let me understand the ways of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. I want to understand what really matters to you. And when I begin to understand what matters to God, then I can begin to plant these seeds in my heart. And my heart gets to receive the seed of the truth of the Word of God. My heart, things start getting planted in my heart. They start getting planted deep inside of me. Why? Because I saw something different. I heard something different. I understood something that I've never understood before. And I took that truth and I took the power of that principle and I pulled it down and I planted it in my heart. And so why? So that I can begin to see the fruit of that thing bear out in my life. And then we close out the declaration by this. Open my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my mind to understand, my heart to receive everything. Say everything. Everything that God has for me today. You see, if you declare this every day, that you want to receive everything that God has for you, then that tells you every day that God has something for me today. God, I want everything you have. That means God's got something for you. God's got something that He wants to show you, something that He wants to speak to you, something that He wants to reveal to you so that you can understand. God has something that He wants to plant in your heart today that's going to transform you and change you. God has something for you today. See, it's not about what God had for me yesterday. It's not about what God might have for me tomorrow. No, with God, it's always about today. That's why we say in the prayer, God, what you have for me today. Well, what you receive today has so much to do with what you say today. What you receive today has so much to do with what you say today. In other words, your words are controlling your direction. What James chapter 3 said, a bit in the horse's mouth controls the whole animal. Something so small controls the pace of that animal, controls the direction of that animal, something so small. He said, your tongue, it's just like the rudder on a boat. Even in the midst of a strong wind, the writer of James says, even in the midst of the strongest wind, that little rudder controls the direction of that big boat. He says, that's what your tongue is doing. And all this while, maybe you find yourself in James 3 that says, "Ah, my words, they seem like no account to me. I don't really understand." It says your words can accomplish anything or they can destroy anything. Your words, your declaration is determining your direction. And if you say this morning, I don't like the direction of my life in this area. I don't like the direction of my marriage. I don't like the direction that I'm going here. I don't like the direction that I'm going there. Your change in direction starts with a change in your declaration. You say, "No, wait a minute. Are you just saying that I just change what I say and everything in my life will change?" No, I'm saying when you change what you say, you change. And when you change, everything changes. You don't change what you say just to change the external circumstances. No, you change what you say because it will change you on the inside. And when you begin to change on the inside, I can step right into the middle of the storm. And because I'm saying the right thing, I got my little rudder on my boat. And it doesn't matter how bad the winds are. It doesn't matter how bad the storm is. I will use the wind and I will use the adversity. And I'll keep speaking life and keep speaking truth and keep speaking the promises of God. And I will make it all the way through the storm. All the way through my trouble. Why? Because I understood the power of what was in my mouth. It changed me and it allowed me to face whatever I'm going through. That's the power of your declaration. It's the power of what you say every day.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.